Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. All right, we broke the bank this week. I can't believe I heard this question. I knew I was going to hear this question. I heard this question. Somebody asked me, Dr. Medici, what herb do I take for the Ebola virus? I won't mention that person's name, but I'm going to dedicate this show to them. Not because I'm going to tell you what herb to take for the Ebola virus. If you follow this show, you know that's the last way I'd think about approaching Ebola. More importantly, and probably a lot more relevant, is we're coming into flu season. And I wouldn't tell you, or I wouldn't focus on what herb are you going to take for flu season either. And you'll understand why in 60 minutes. Really, once the flu started, it's too late. Prevention, grandma's old wisdom, prevention is worth the pound of cure, but we don't prevent because we don't really understand why we need to prevent. What are the mechanisms that set the terrain so when that virus comes into your body, and what's a virus anyway versus a bacteria, what's the terrain? What are the variables in the terrain, in the environment that that flu starts to set into that really determine whether or not you're going to get sick and how sick you're going to get and how fast you're going to recover? That's what I want to get into today. And yes, we'll do a little bit on the different quick fix remedies that work. Well, they work halfway. You've got to do your half, which is to not get yourself too run down. Because once you're too run down, you're wasting your money on the herbs. The herbs can only do so much, and you're going to get the science behind that. So let's get to it. First of all, just want to cover the basics. When I say a virus, do we understand a virus versus a bacteria? That's the key. Virus, in fact, pictured number three. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That is picture number three. Now, if you take a look at that, how a virus works. First of all, is a virus a one-celled organism? Complete. Membrane, mitochondria, nucleus, so on and so forth. And the answer, of course, is no. A virus is very simplistic. Few things are more simplistic in the body that the immune system has to deal with than a virus. And there you have it, picture number three, how a virus works. It's going to find a receptor site. It's going to find a receptor site on the membrane of a cell. And you don't have a lot of defense against that. That's just the edge that the viruses have. Once it finds that receptor site, it sinks its teeth in. You can't stop that too easily either. Once it sinks its teeth in, it's going to eat its way through the membrane. Now, those essential fatty acids, great for boosting immunity. You don't usually hear that. But those fatty acids in there set the resilience of that membrane. So if you're EFA deficient, and that's another show, and you know all about the essential fatty acids anyway, the omega-9s, the omega-3s, the omega-6s, the DHAs, the EPAs, another show. But if you've got the resilience in that cell membrane, once that virus starts to eat inside and through the membrane, despite being on a receptor site, you've at least got a little bit of protection. So pack that one into your understanding. Now, once that virus gets on the inside, it drops in to the DNA and begins to infect your own DNA sequences so that your DNA starts producing the virus's DNA. And this is, of course, transacted through what we call messenger RNA. So you're going to see over there in step number two, virus RNA invades the cell nucleus and takes over. To step number three, you're looking at the pictures now. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and look inside under literature, and you're going to look at immediately picture number 3. Just click it and blow it up if this is your first time on the show. So once that virus gets inside, we're going to move then to picture number 3. To picture number 3, step 3, the viral RNA. The viral RNA starts duplicating, not the messenger RNA of the cell. The cell now has been polluted and taken over by the virus, and this replication of the messenger RNA goes on uncontrollably to the point where the cell bursts. And you got to take that in to understand what the flu is, because this mechanism that I'm delineating, you have to understand all the different things you're going to do to combat the flu and why one works for one person and it doesn't work for the other person. All right, so once you've got that replication pattern and it bursts the cell, now we've got a cell effectively that, hang on one second, guys. I'm sorry about that. We just had a little technical problem I had to fix. All right. Once we've got the messenger RNA duplicated, the cell bursts. Now, that lysing of the cell is what you're going to begin to experience as the symptom. The symptom then, whether it's in the GI tract, in other words, did the virus start to attack the gastrointestinal system? Did the virus start to attack the respiratory system? Did the virus start to attack the muscular system? Depending upon where the virus attacked, you're going to feel the symptoms. So what we're dealing with a viral attack is accelerated cell death. Accelerated cell death overloads the immune system. Once the immune system is overloaded, the nerve receptors are going to pick up this accelerated cell death, and you're going to end up with a symptom, some signal mediated by the neurological system that the rate of cell turnover is infinitely too fast. And once that occurs, the inflammatory process is going to get stimulated, so a bomb is going to go off based upon the fact that the cell turnover has exceeded the normal rate and an alarm goes off. Now, once you start an inflammatory process, you're going to have to turn then to picture number 11. Take a look at picture number 11. Just don't get overwhelmed by it. Just take this into your body. Picture number 11 is basically the inflammatory swamp that your body has to deal with so that it can mediate a healing. And that inflammatory swamp now is going to include, look in the upper right-hand corner of that picture. That inflammatory swamp is going to include an army of macrophages, an army of dendritic cells, an army of mast cells, an army of T lymphocytes, an army of B lymphocytes, an army of plasma cells, an army of antibodies. Macrophages, dendritic cells, mast cells, lymphocytes, there's a battalion of different nations of soldiers coming in, and they're dying while they're trying to deactivate that virus. So when you have a tissue then that's inflamed, it's symptomatic. Say it's a cough down in the bronchioles. Say it's in the respiratory tract. Say it's in the intestinal tract. Say your muscles are aching. Your entire immune complex is dealing with a ton of immune system cells that are bumping into each other in the attack and dying. You're dealing with the healthy immune system cells. You're dealing with the invading virus. You're dealing with the dead virus. You're dealing with all the cytokines and histamines. You're dealing with the fibrin that gets laid down into that tissue to try to contain the inflammatory response. It's a mess. And I think that picture, picture actually represents that inflammatory process beautifully. So when you're symptomatic, then you've got an entire sludge bar of different types of cells, each trying to mediate and keep you above the symptomatic line. And in that way, you mitigate your symptomology. So you think of flu, you think of symptom, you think of inflammatory response, you think of everything I just said, and now the question becomes, what are you going to do about it? All right, if you've got that, you can get to the deeper understanding of why we get sick, why we don't get sick, how fast we get sick, and how fast we heal. Again, this depends upon your fundamental understanding of what we mean by the terrain. Now you can activate and take action based upon understanding of this giant mess we just described that we call the first 24 hours of a viral infection. So take that picture in. Look at picture number 10. And that's a fantastic picture of a virus. That's picture number 10. It's a fantastic picture of a virus. And what they've blown up is basically the virus trying to attach to receptor sites in the membrane of a respiratory tract cell. Look at that big picture in the lower right-hand corner. It's the surface of the respiratory tract cell, the lipid bilayer. There's a fat sandwich, a bilayer of fat that we call the cell membrane. And that membrane is going to be somewhat resistant to the invasion via the virus. As that membrane breaks down, you're going to accelerate the rate at which the virus enters and exits. So that's that Star Wars-like invader there, hitting the membrane, looking for the site, eliciting that response. Good. Now, what's your body going to do as you have an accelerated rate of cell death? Well, it's going to call in its own invaders. And this is in the realm now of the immune system. But what's the difference between you and the other guy? First and foremost is the number of immune system cells. And second, and this is variable, not only is the number variable, but the next issue becomes, what is the motility? What is the aggressivity? How mobile are those cells? Do they just come in and do the lazy job, or are they highly aggressive, seeking out and looking for that invader to destroy? And that variability in the aggressiveness of the immune system and the numbers that you can mount towards the healing, those variabilities, in fact, are the first two things that determine whether you get it and how fast you get over it. This is so important. This is never stressed. It's always about what do I do and how do I prevent it in sense of avoid exposure to it. Did you know back in the 80s when AIDS first hit and we finally at least associated the HIV infection to full-blown AIDS, you had pathologists from Matilda Krim right on down the line basically stating in articles, I still have them in my libraries, pointing out that HIV invasion does not mean you get AIDS. You have to overwhelm the immune system after the invasion. And this was sort of curious because the mentality at the time about the HIV virus as a retrovirus was that once it gets in, you're cooked because it'll just deactivate your immune system. And so it went after the very thing that the body uses to prevent it from spreading. And so you were going to die. That was it. You're HIV positive and it's all over for you. And yet, if you read the literature, Krim and others made it really clear. No, is it coming into an immune system that can't handle it? That battle began immediately. And if the rate of aggressivity of the immune response exceeded the ability...